Both Peter and Paul gave us powerful teaching and direction on spiritual maturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you might want to turn over there, that's going to be our main text this morning. There Paul describes spiritual growth. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so Peter is describing the process of spiritual growth, like a newborn baby's appetite for milk. The newborn Christian should have an unquenchable thirst for the Word of God. Now we get this. Every parent experiences some high points and low points of raising their children. Of course, the high point is when the child is born. But then there's the first time they roll over. We're just, oh, wonderful. And the first time they crawl. And then no one forgets that first time, amazing time they take their first step and walk. But to get there, they drink gallons of milk. They eat that nasty looking baby food, and then they get up off their knees and thrill us as they take those first wobbly steps. We all understand that. That's the process of growing up. In 1 Corinthians, Paul is addressing the problem of new Christians staying too long in that baby stage. They're still crawling, or maybe just taking some wobbly steps. Look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. Paul is basically telling these Corinthian brethren that it's time for them to get up off their knees. They've been crawling long enough. It's time to get up and grow up in the meat of God's Word. This morning, we're going to take a close look at some characteristics of those who are spiritually immature compared to those who are spiritually mature. What's the difference? Well, let's read verse 1 again. And I really like the way the NIV reads in this verse, so I'm going to read it from the NIV. Verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Now, we all understand babies don't grow without milk. But we also understand that solid food or meat is for the strong and mature body that needs to grow even stronger. It's the process of growing. The church at Corinth wasn't growing. Not spiritually. They were full of problems, factions, divisions, and splits, largely because its members loved the wisdom of men more than the wisdom of God. They were proud of their eloquent ability to explore and to explain many fascinating subjects, but absolutely no one was being changed spiritually by that worldly knowledge. No one. In fact, Paul will go on to teach them in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, that that this knowledge was puffing them up, filling them with pride, and dividing them through pride. Worldly knowledge will never nourish you to grow up spiritually. And so Paul is challenging the Corinthian church, and he's challenging our church, our congregation, to grow up, to get off our knees, and to eat some solid food and meat. And you may be wondering, well spiritually, what are you talking about? What is solid food or meat? Well, solid food is teaching from God's word that unfolds the full riches and the magnificence of the gospel so that people can grow up and put it into action. That's the key. Put it into action. They stop being children. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks about being children. He says in Ephesians 4:14 that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now that's a spiritually immature Christian. But what Paul's talking about here requires the meat of the word. And so in verse 15, he says, "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." There has to be some speaking the truth in love in order for us to grow up into Christ. And so Christ died for our sins. That's milk. That's milk stuff. Important, but it's milk. We died with Christ and died to sin. That's meat. That's putting it into action. That's applying it to your life. Feasting on meat frees you from habits and attitudes that are irritating to others and that make it difficult for them to live with you. The knowledge of the gifts of the Spirit. That's milk. Using these gifts to edify the church. That's meat. And it was time for these brethren in Corinth to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Especially beginning with love. That's meat. And notice here in chapter 3 the lack of love in these spiritual babies. First of all, spiritually immature people, they harbor envy and jealousy. Look at verse 3 again. He says, "For you're still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" The NIV translates the word envy as jealousy. Well, those two words paint a word picture, don't they? Envy and jealousy always leads to putting others down with mean-spirited words and actions. The envious and jealous person rejoices when others are hurt. And the truth is, they often hurt when others have reason to rejoice. They're envious. They're jealous. And it was time for these brethren to look into the mirror of God's word and confess their sin to God and then repent of that sin. It was time to begin praying for those they envied. You know what? You'll have a hard time being jealous or envious of a person you're praying that God will bless. Just nearly impossible. And listen to me. That's meat. That's what we're talking about. Meat of the word. Application. Secondly, spiritually immature people are entangled in strife and divisions. And again, the NIV translates strifes and divisions with one word, quarreling. If you're quarrelsome, if you're competitive and have to win at everything, if you're argumentative, you have to win every argument, if you're a troublemaker, you're in serious need of some spiritual meat. And in Corinth, this problem was literally tearing the congregation apart. Those with miraculous gifts given to spread the word of God, those miraculous gifts were even used to put down those who had not been given those gifts. And so there was a war going on in the congregation of the haves and the have-nots, those who had miraculous spiritual gifts and those who didn't. And Paul was wondering, well, what about love? That's 1 Corinthians 13, by the way. What about love? Why are you fighting? Why are you quarreling? You're acting like self-centered babies. And Paul has encouraged them, please eat some meat. Thirdly, spiritually immature people have false loyalties. Look at verse 4. And when you wrap your head around what's being said here, it's disgusting. Verse 4. For when one says, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We all need to be reminded often that we cannot take credit for the growth of the church. This is actually one of the constant temptations for preachers. Look what I did. No. Preachers are not the source of spiritual growth. No man can take credit for the work of God. Paul understood that what he had done was, well, here's your word picture. I planted the word of God. And then the eloquent speaker, Apollos, taught those Christians. He watered by teaching the new babes in Christ the milk of the word. But Paul says, don't you ever forget that God gave the increase. Not me, not Apollos, nor any other man. God gave the increase. Think about the nature of infants. Have you noticed that babies are easily upset, that they expect all their needs to be met with a constant focus of mommy and daddy? Have you noticed that? Of course you have. And so you feed them and then even have to help them burp so they won't have a tummy ache. They have a lot of expectations. But you know the day is coming when you'll no longer have to have that 16-year-old boy on your shoulder burping him. Now sometimes it may feel like you're going to have to. But you no longer have to take care of their every need. And in fact, you're preparing them for the day when you kick them out of the nest. Some of you have seen the nests of bald eagles. And with the internet, there's multiple places where you can log on and literally there's a camera pointing into an eagle's nest and you can watch those eagles night and day. When a mother eagle builds her nest, she starts with thorns and broken branches and things that seem entirely unsuitable for a nest. But then she lines the nest with a thick padding of wool or feathers or fur from the animals she's killed. She makes it very soft and comfortable for the eggs. And by the time those chicks reach flying age, the comfort of the nest and the luxury of all those free meals make them very reluctant to leave the nest. And that's when the parents begin stirring the nest. They pull the thick carpet of fur and feathers out of the nest. They bring the sharp thorns and branches to the surface of that nest. And so the nest becomes very uncomfortable for the young eagles. And that's part of the motivation for them to leave the nest, to spread their wings and fly like God intended them to do. That's what Paul is talking about. You'll never find an old eagle still bedded down expecting the parents to meet their needs. That's not how it works. And you'll never find a Christian feasting on the Word of God, acting like a self-centered infant still in need of milk. That's not how it works. You spread your wings and you fly spiritually. Or you die spiritually. Spiritual maturity is a lifelong process, by the way. Here in 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You ever thought of yourself like that? You are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. Spiritual maturity is spelled G-R-O-W. Grow. As being God's fellow workers. As being God's field. God's building. Always aware that you're God's own special possession. That you have a purpose. That you have a reason. And so you grow. Grow. G-R-O-W. You grow. That's what Peter was describing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and following. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. There's a lot of meat to be consumed in that passage. But a couple of things really go hand in hand with our lesson this morning. Did you notice the words perseverance and self-control? Perseverance or endurance is a characteristic of spiritual maturity. Look over the past 5 or 10 years of your life. What do you wish that you had not quit? You ever thought of it that way? Now, I'm sure that some of you are happy that you quit some bad habits. But think about what you have not quit on. You haven't quit. Maybe it's something like special college classes or guitar lessons or piano lessons or whatever. But you're happy that you started, but you're sad that you quit. You wish you hadn't quit. Maybe you wish that you'd kept on taking better care of your health. I'd be one of those. But without a doubt, our deepest regrets normally involve relationships. Don't you miss the close relationships that you give up on? Do you wish that you'd worked out a difference with a loved one or a relative or a friend and not given up on that relationship? Don't you wish you had maintained that long-term friendship that dissolved when the going got rough? Don't you wish that you would have been more forgiving, that you would have released them from the debt of vengeance? I said, I accept you fully. You're released. Or you had taken the steps necessary for you to be forgiven. Listen carefully. Spiritual meat leads us to never giving up on relationships that should never be broken. Now, there are some relationships Paul taught us that need to be severed. But there are so many that should never be broken. And then there's your relationship with God. Has your spiritual fire been reduced to a flickering flame? Did you find it easier to do the things that you want to do rather than do the things that God wants you to do? You go to Bible class on Wednesday night or worship on Sunday evening. Bottom line, are you hungry for the meat of God's Word? How hungry are you for the meat of God's Word? Have you found it easier to do what you want to do with your life than to kneel before God and turn your life over to God, surrender to Him, and follow Him with endurance, perseverance? Think about what you have quit. And you'll see clearly the level of perseverance that you've added to your life. A second characteristic of spiritual maturity is self-discipline or self-control. And we're talking about achieving success through delaying gratification. Some people seem to, you probably noticed this, they just seem to succeed at everything they try. They have successful careers. They relate well to their families. They're active, growing Christians. They're even physically fit. And when you get to know these people, you realize they all have one common factor, and that is that they practice some self-control. They have feasted on the meat of God's Word. And yes, they have endurance, but they've added to their perseverance this spiritual self-control. Now, by contrast, there are people that seem to have a string of setbacks and disasters and failures. And if you get close to them, they explain why these calamities have come to them. And here's the kind of things you'll hear. Well, you know, I just started to let things slide. I put off taking care of my work. I neglected to follow up on the leads. I didn't keep my eye on the store. I didn't push my chair back from the bar and walk out sober. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't spend time with my family. I thought my problems would solve themselves. And on the list goes. And most of the reasons can be summed up with one word. An absence of discipline. Self-discipline. Self-control. We're talking about a meat of the word kind of thing. Self-control. I want you to notice the comparison of a childhood faith with a mature adult faith, a full-grown faith. The childhood faith would say good Christians don't have pain or disappointments. Yeah, right. And a spiritually mature adult faith says, hey, God uses my pain and my disappointments to make me a stronger Christian. The childhood faith says God helps those who help themselves. While a mature faith says God helps those who admit their own helplessness. They depend on Him. They can't take a step without Him. The childhood faith says God wants to make me happy. And the adult faith says God wants to make us into the image of Jesus. The childhood faith says faith will help us always explain what God is doing. And you know, things always work out. While the mature faith says faith helps us stand under God's sovereignty, even when we have no idea what God is doing. We don't understand, but we're still going to stand beside God. Childhood faith says mature Christians have answers. And a full-grown faith says mature Christians can wrestle honestly with tough questions because we trust that God has the answer. The childhood faith says good Christians are always strong. While the mature faith says our strength is in admitting our weakness and our need for God's strength. Well, Paul learned that the hard way, didn't he? Well, we go to church, the childhood faith will say, because our friends are there. We have great leaders and we really get something out of it. But a mature faith says we go to church because we are part of the body of Christ. That's our spiritual family. And we long to worship God. Hold up the Word of God to your life. And it will be like looking into a mirror. Now you have to hold that Word of God up before you can see yourself. But when you do that, what do you see? Are you still crawling on your knees like an infant? Then this morning, it's time to get up off your knees. It's time to stand tall. It's time to become a Christian on the G-R-O-W, on the grow. Practicing endurance and self-discipline, which include things like daily reading your Bible and praying, taking advantage of every opportunity for Bible study, being regular in the worship assemblies, taking advantage of every opportunity to serve others. That's what it means. That's milk of the, not our meat of the word kind of things. Applying God's Word to your life every day, every moment. This morning, if it's time to start growing, then don't leave here without doing that. Come forward and we'll pray with you. If you're not a Christian, we will help you become a Christian as you obey the gospel, just like the first century Christians obey. You hear God's word, you believe it. With that comes some godly sorrow. Your sin put Jesus on the cross. And that godly sorrow will lead you to repent. You change your mind, you change your actions, how you think and what you do. And then you're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You rise from that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And you start growing from that day. If you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.